Welcome to the big show. My name is Michael Petrelli, joined this week by the Midwest Marauder, Jeremy Harmon. What's up, Jeremy?
Hello. Nothing very much. Just hanging out here in Indiana.
So we got two big awards coming up this week. One that Jeremy and I both got to vote on, the Independent Spirit Awards, and Liz and Melissa also voted on, and I believe Brad votes on as well. And the Oscars, of course. So we thought the two of us would get together and just have a little conversation about what's going on in the world of awards season, since the final awards will be given out for the 2014 movie season this weekend. So, Jer, let's talk a little bit about the Oscars first, and then maybe we'll delve into our Spirit Award nominations or maybe our choices that we picked for this upcoming awards, which I believe is at 2 p.m. on Saturday, correct. And then the Oscars are on 7 p.m. on Sunday. So if you're a big – and the Razzies, of course, are this weekend as well. So if you're a big movie fan, this is a huge weekend for you. So let's delve into the Best Picture nominations of the Oscars. As everybody knows, American Sniper, Imitation Game, Selma, Birdman, Boyhood, Theory of Everything, Whiplash, and The Grand Budapest Hotel are up for the Best Picture nominations. Now, we're going to differ a lot on this subject, and that's okay, but that's because we should. But if you had a choice of who should and who would, what are your two choices for Best Picture?
Who would I want to win, and who do I think should win?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I personally would like to see of the movies nominated. I still don't think any of them are the Best Picture of the year. But Whiplash would be the one. And Michael and I were just discussing this before. It's, strangely enough, the movie that's stuck with me the most. I've seen it twice now. Selma's the only one that I've seen. Well, Boyhood. Selma, Boyhood, and Whiplash are the three that I've seen twice. And Whiplash just, I don't know. I think J.K. Simmons' performance is so spot on. And I will preface this that I am not a jazz music fan either, by any stretch of the imagination. But it's a movie that stuck with me. The journey that the young kid takes, I think the ending is so unbelievably spot on, perfect. And just the way that Damien Chazelle, the director, is able to capture Andrew Niemann, the main character's ups and downs, trials and tribulations. Really, really good. I don't know why I connected to it so much, but it's the one that stuck with me the most. Who do I think should win or will win? I'll preface this. I think that Boyhood probably should win. I think that Birdman will win.
Interesting. We've been talking about this quite some time, about the fight to the Oscars, if you will, the last four or five different awards. And they all lead up and they all give you kind of an idea of who's going to win the Oscar. And Birdman and Boyhood are neck and neck on all the major awards. But Birdman has won a few of the awards that are really set the tone for the Oscars lately. So it's definitely got the edge right now, I guess you would say. And I wonder how far back the voters voted on the Oscars before the other awards came out, and if it will make an effect on what happens this weekend.
Well, if you look, I mean, the Directors Guild and the Producer Guild Awards almost always signify the winner, at least in the last 9 years. I think Little Miss Sunshine was the first directors or the last Directors Guild award in 06 that didn't predict the director. Usually the director predicts the best picture. Not always the case. So I think that, you know, the BAFTAs, as I did a little bit more research, there are more Academy voters that vote in the BAFTAs than any other award ceremonies by themselves. So Boyhood ran away with everything there. But if you take the individual guilds, the Writers Guild, the Screen Actors Guild, the Directors Guild, and the Producers Guild, Boyhood didn't take any of those down. So I think it's in trouble. I think that Birdman's going to win. And frankly, you know, of the films nominated, I'm not bummed. I think both of them are fantastic achievements. So if either one of them win, which one of them is going to win Best Picture, then I can't be mad at that.
Yeah.
I think that there were stronger films that didn't make the cut, which always happens with me, because I think that the independent and smaller budget films are largely ignored by the Oscars because they have no reason to give backing to them because people won't go see them in the theater. But how about you? What are your thoughts? I mean, obviously you think that Boyhood should win, and you said that ever since it first came out.
But. Yeah, I mean, Birdman and Boyhood are my number one and number two films of the year. You know, I think either one of them rightfully deserves to win the award this year. I think for achievement, just in the sake of the actual film itself, the Academy likes to lean on those type of awards, a la Peter Jackson winning the Best Picture Award for Return of the King for the achievement of Lord of the Rings itself. So sometimes that's the kind of thing that happens. I'm a big believer that Boyhood will come out this weekend as the top film. I'm going to throw a sort of side dart at you. I was a real big fan of Imitation Game. I thought the film was extremely well done, and I think that's the kind of film that if it wasn't for a Boyhood, that would be one of the films that I think we would be talking as a film that could be the front runner for the film, as well as Theory of Everything. But I think the Theory of Everything falls in line with what happened with Walk the Line a couple years ago, where it was like it's a character driven film. It may not have been a great film, but the pieces of the actors being in there were the ones that actually won the awards, but the film didn't. That's the kind of thing I think with Theory of Everything. Whiplash is an amazing film. Grand Budapest is a nod to just how fun the film was. It's one of those I threw you a lob votes, and that's okay. But we talked about this earlier. The USA Today Fandango poll, America thinks American Sniper should win that award.
I think I've been pretty vocal about what a piece of shit I think that movie is, and if I think it's a complete fucking farce that it's nominated for any award, let alone Best Picture. So it just goes to prove, you know, it took in $307 million thus far at the box office. It's most people have seen that movie, if they've seen any of them. I don't think that a person that is your average moviegoer is going to go see American Sniper and pick up Birdman or go catch Birdman or Boyhood. You know, I think they challenge in a different way. I think that getting them to see something like Theory of Everything is not going to happen. So, of course, I think it's probably by default maybe one of the only films that they saw out of this group. None of these other films did very well at the box office in comparison. A movie, IFC's top grossing movie in history is Boyhood. But I think it took in about $22 million, maybe a little bit more than that in the box office. So, I think that your cinephiles and a different class of moviegoer went to see the other seven that were nominated.
So so
no surprise that American Sniper took that.
Okay. So I think we all, the two of us agree that if the weakest film of the Best Pictures is probably American Sniper. What film do you think was omitted because of American Sniper?
I think it has to be Foxcatcher.
Yeah.
And how does a movie get, and someone could actually fit the bill for that as well, but I think American Sniper snuck in on Foxcatcher's coattails. A movie that gets nominated for Best Director, Best Screenplay, two acting awards and a couple other awards, Best Makeup, and I think maybe one other. How that doesn't merit a Best Oscar nomination for Best Picture, I fucking have no idea. I mean, every single element of the movie is nominated. So how does that not equate? I mean, even if you look at it with Selma's only award besides the Best Song that is the only one that it's nominated for. So it makes you wonder what the fucking criteria are for a Best Picture nomination. I mean, Selma was a no-brainer. If they didn't nominate that, I think the Academy would have taken, they would have taken more heat for being even more racist than they clearly were this year, because I still think that David Oyelowo was as deserving as anybody in the Best, I mean, more so than Bradley Cooper, for sure, of being nominated for that award. I think he's outstanding. So I just, it baffles me how Foxcatcher didn't make it. I don't understand why they don't just do a straight 10. Why there's some fucking goofy criteria for them to set up who is the best picture. I just don't understand it because it just doesn't, it doesn't equate.
Well, we had, I think they have the right to go up to a certain amount. They can go up to 10,
but there's a set of criteria, which I don't know what it is. I don't even know if they publish it. It has to be, you know, in the top five and so many ballots or fuck, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I just don't know how you don't put it in there. In light of the other awards that it's nominated for, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
See, now going back, moving on to the actor, I'll actually contest Bradley Cooper, as I think that with Steve Carell, I really didn't really resonate with his character. Probably, and I think I've mentioned this before, I lived through that time in that actual era.
You know, you and I are basically the same age.
So. Yeah, I mean, I actually was here in Philadelphia when that actually happened.
Yeah.
Okay, so I remember John DuPont. I remember the whole story. So I think when I saw the film, I was kind of more connected because I saw it on, you know, turn it on Channel 6 News. It was there for 3 weeks. I mean, yeah. So I think it was kind of one of those things where it was like, yeah, saw this already. And actually, Bradley Cooper, for me, where the film, I enjoyed American Sniper for what it was. I didn't think it was a Best Picture nomination. And I was actually offended a little bit by it. It got nominated for Best Picture. But I actually didn't hate the film as much as you did. I was okay. And that was because of his performance of, you know, Chris Kyle. I would have actually put David in there above Steve Carell. But everybody else they had in there was pretty spot on. Benedict Cumberbatch, Michael Keaton, and Eddie Redmayne turned in probably three of the best performances this year.
I don't disagree. I think Carell and Bradley Cooper both should have been next. I don't think either one of them. I think Oyelowo should have been in there. And I was just thinking of Ralph Fiennes in Grand Budapest.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Absolutely.
I think that you know they don't ever nominate the comedic actors for a best actor role. It's rare that you ever see that. You know, supporting actor, you'll see that. But I think that Fiennes was far superior to both Cooper and Carell. I think that Carell was a kind of a one-trick pony with his stilted talking and his heavy breathing. And great. To me, you watch some video and you get that down and then you put it on film. Part of me for Eddie Redmayne, I have a real issue with people winning. I think he's the legitimate shot at winning the Oscar Saturday. Probably is inching ahead of Keaton, who I would vote for Keaton over Redmayne. And I love Stephen Hawking. I think he's amazing. But being able to hang out with a living person and then play them on film and be able to at least talk to them about their trials and tribulations or whatever and whatever they went through. I know it's different with Hawking because he can't actually speak. He uses a computer to do that. But he can at least give him hints and talk to him about, you know, mannerisms and things like that.
Sure.
So I hated Jamie Foxx winning for Ray. I hated it. I didn't think it was a fine performance. Was it an Oscar-worthy performance? No fucking way. No way.
Agreed.
He hang out with, I mean, and I know Ray Charles died shortly after they finished filming the movie, but he still hung out with Ray Charles.
Yeah.
You know, I'm over the biopic wins as well. You know, I think that's why I think Keaton should have the advantage, even though I think Cumberbatch was fantastic. But Keaton should have the advantage because he had to build the character.
You don't think Keaton basically played as himself 10 years after Batman?
No, I don't.
Okay. Because that's what some people and some critics that are voting have kind of said is that, well, he kind of was playing himself, you know, after the fall of his action career with Batman.
Well, was it a fall? I mean, it seemed like that was pretty self-imposed. He didn't want to be anything. He didn't want anything to do. It's not like he couldn't have gotten jobs over the last, 20 years where he's been largely silent making movies just because, I mean, he said it himself. It wasn't in him.
Sure.
So it's different. This is a guy who's trying to recoup something that he once had.
Right? Yeah, I mean, I would vote for Michael Keaton, but
I mean, if you're the other four are all fucking real people.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Benedict Cumberbatch's performance.
He's great, and I don't want to take anything away from him. I think that's an important movie. That's an important character. That's a hell of an important story, and he nailed it. So I don't want to take anything away from Redmayne either. I didn't connect with the other two performances with Cooper and Carell. I hated the movie that Cooper was in. I wasn't very high on Foxcatcher. I thought it was a mediocre movie at best.
Agreed.
Which is why I thought it would get a Best Picture nomination.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be par for the course. So, yeah, sorry.
So we're going Keaton, both of us, on the actor.
For sure.
Yeah.
Although with a slight tick over Redmayne. I really like Redmayne.
Completely agree with you that they're going to be neck and neck. I mean, but I really think that the Oscar loves that final performance, or that you know, coming of age film, you know, Michael Keaton comes back from the dead in their eyes kind of thing.
Well, it didn't work for Mickey Rourke, so we'll see if it works.
Well, the Academy hates Mickey Rourke.
Well, and for good reason.
Yeah. So the actress was crazy. I mean, the leading actress, when we saw the Oscar nominations come out, you know, there was the three that everyone the four that everyone basically thought. Rosamund Pike for Gone Girl, Reese Witherspoon for Wild, Felicity Jones for Theory of Everything, and Still Alice's Julianne Moore. But the surprise was... Two Days, Two Nights, Marion Cotillard, who was last seen in The Dark Knight Rises. I didn't see her performance, so I can't really speak to it, but from what I understand, it was a gas moment for many people that were like, what the fuck were they looking at?
Yeah. Well, it's a foreign film, right? We don't really see the foreign actresses. I mean, she's already nabbed a best Oscar for her performance as Edith Piaf in La Vie en Rose, which she was really, really great. I think she's fan-fucking-tastic.
So, yeah, but if she would have gotten nominated for The Immigrant or something,
Well, I mean, it's a Dardenne Brothers movie, who, you know, they're mainstays at Cannes Film Festival. They've taken the Palme d'Or at least once, if not twice. I haven't seen the movie. It's actually playing here this weekend in Bloomington at the IU Cinema. I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to see it, which bums me out, but I'll get a chance to see it at some point in time. She's fantastic. I still think that Jenny Slate gave the best performance of the year in The Obvious Child, and it bums me that she didn't get much love when it came to that, but I'm fine with Cotillard. She was great in Rust and Bone. I've really loved her in everything that I've seen her in. I mean, I don't think she's had a misstep at all in the movies that I've seen.
I would have voted for Tilda Swinton in Only Lovers Left Alive.
I actually agree with that one, too. I'm in the process of setting up what I would have picked as the Oscar nominees and the Oscar winners. I did it the last 2 years on my blog, and I'm going to do it again this year. Maybe I'll put it on Real News Daily this year. Yeah. She's in there. Swinton was fantastic, without a doubt. And it's a shame that movie got passed over, even at the Independent Spirit Awards, for a lot of stuff, because I just thought it was brilliant. I mean, it was definitely, you know, one of the top five movies of me for the year.
Yep. So we know, basically, I mean, the favorite is Julianne Moore.
She's a lot. If she doesn't win, I'll tattoo something on my body. That's I mean, she's an absolute lot.
Funny enough,
anybody out there that's listening, if you're doing an Oscar pool, I said it. It's 100%. She does not lose this award.
Yeah, and if you asked me 4 months ago, before the awards even came out, I would have told you that Rosamund Pike would have run away with it.
She was really good,
and that was before I saw Still Alice. So I mean, right after I saw Still Alice, it was like done. Moves, the award's going. But, you know, Rosamund Pike at the time, she really looked at the one that was going to run away. And listen, I saw Wild, and Reese Witherspoon is really good, but I mean, it was almost like that 127 hours type of film that, you know, gets a little bit of buzz from the indies, but really doesn't resonate.
Once again,
that far.
Another real person, you know, and it's kind of how I felt about Felicity Jones. Although I thought she was great too. I mean, I don't have anything bad to say about Theory of Everything. It was a very nice movie, and I enjoyed it very much.
My favorite category this year, and I think they 100% got it right, was the supporting actor role. I think all five actors could win it. Robert Duvall, Mark Ruffalo, J.K. Simmons, Ethan Hawke, and Ed Norton were all stellar in the films.
Yeah, I haven't seen The Judge, so I can't speak to that one.
But you know, as the awards come around, J.K. Simmons takes everything, and he rightfully so. He's absolutely fantastic. if I had to rank them, 1-2, J.K. Simmons would be one, and for me, Ethan Hawke would be two. I was a big fan of Ed Norton's performance in Birdman as well. Robert Duvall, and I thought Mark Ruffalo was probably fifth on my list, but J.K. Simmons will walk away with it.
Yeah, I haven't seen The Judge, so that's the only one that I haven't seen for that. And frankly, I would have removed Duvall and put in Josh Brolin for Inherent Vice. That would have been my choice.
Moti Panakeko.
Yeah, Moto Panakeko. Moti. Yeah, he was stellar. It's a shame he got passed over that movie. Poor Paul Thomas Anderson just came to get a break. But Simmons is a runaway.
Yeah, it's a shame for me only because I really truly loved Ethan Hawke's performance in Boyhood, and you know, seeing the kind of films that he picks, this was probably going to be maybe one of his last chances at winning. I believe he was nominated for Training Day. And he didn't win. So, you know, it's one of and Ed Norton's going to wind up being the Mickey Rourke of this generation, I think. You know,
his work is far superior to anything that Rourke ever did.
I'm talking about his bad attitude towards the Academy's attitude towards him.
Well, he's a shithead to work with, apparently. So.
If he keeps performing the way that he performs, he can be a shithead all he wants.
Yeah, he's great. I really loved him.
Now, actress was, I think, suspect. I mean, we had the staple got nominated for Meryl Streep for Into the Woods, which I thought was really a
bullshit
fucking thing. Emma Stone was really good in Birdman. Patricia Arquette in Boyhood. Laura Dern in Wild, again, another ho-hum, and Keira Knightley, who I thought was really good in Imitation Game. So this was the weakest of the categories, actually, I thought.
You know, it traditionally is, to be honest with you. I don't think that you see a real healthy stable of women being put, because frankly, there are just not very many great women characters out there. And if they're great characters, they're put in a Best Actress role. It's a shame. I think that's skirting, you know, skirting Laura Dern in there is a little suspect. I haven't seen the film, so I don't know. Meryl Streep is, as we just said, it's a fucking joke. I mean, it's like Meryl's in a movie. Okay, let's put her in so she can keep breaking records as far as nominations go. But give me a goddamn break.
Do you think she finds it funny now, or do you think she just kind of relishes in it?
I think that she probably thinks it's a funny situation. I mean, And I don't want to take anything away from her as an actress, because she's fucking amazing. I mean, there's no arguing that.
Sure.
And you know, I think she's at her age, she is one of the few that's actually getting decent roles. You know, I mean, how many people would have put? I mean, Julia Roberts isn't going to get Into the Woods, you know, when she's Meryl's age. And I will say this: that they are not in the same fucking continent as far as leagues of greatness and what they do. But yeah, I mean, good for Meryl. I mean, I'm glad she gets roles, and she seems to get varying roles, not just an older woman that's trying to find a younger man, or an older woman that's trying to make it work with her husband. She does get varying roles, so good on her, but she doesn't need a nomination every fucking year. Stop.
So we saw Donna, Guardians of the Galaxy, fucking got screwed. But Patricia Arquette for me is probably going to walk away with it.
And I don't think there's any doubt. And I don't think that there's any doubt that she's the strongest one in this category anyway.
Yeah.
The hell of a performance, and really kind of fun to watch. I mean, I've never been a huge fan of hers. I really loved her in True Romance. That might be the only other movie that I've seen her in. Besides Atlanta, Lost Highway was good, but it was just such a creepy movie. It's hard to say that I really liked her performance in that movie.
Were you surprised that Interstellar basically got shut out at all for all the major awards?
I thought it might get a director award or nomination, but I came away disappointed. I didn't think that it lived up. I still think it's better than American Sniper. So I think, it should go ahead of American Sniper.
Yeah.
You know, if they had expanded the field to 10, I think that it also should have been in there. Yeah, but as we know, sci-fi movies don't really make it to the Best Picture nominations. I mean, Gravity was, an anomaly last year, but it was a pretty fantastic movie. I the acting awards, no way. I mean, Lithgow would have been the only one besides Jessica Chastain that I think merited any consideration at all. I thought McConaughey was weak. Matt Damon was laughable.
I just thought the film actually performed better than a lot of the films that were nominated in some of these other categories, I would say. And, you know, it just seemed to be, like you said, with directing. I would have probably taken Bennett Miller out of there and put Chris Nolan in for Interstellar. But yeah. Then again, I think they would probably think, well, then, you know, with director, why wouldn't we have the movie in for Best Picture? So...
Well, fuck. I mean, Foxcatcher didn't get nominated for a Best Picture. Yeah, Bennett Miller's the odd man out. I mean, we kind of skipped that category. I don't get it. I don't understand why he's nominated in that category.
No, it's a two horse race. I mean,
if you think about it, why wasn't Eastwood nominated? I mean, all they do, the Academy just jerks him off anyway.
Yeah.
So, oh, Eastwood made a movie. It's got a patriotic message. Let's jerk him off and nominate it six times, even though it's a fucking turd pile. I mean, yeah, I was baffled, frankly, by the fact that Eastwood did not get that nomination.
Well, it's either going to be Linkletter or Iñárritu. So
I'm leaning towards this. Now this is what might happen, Michael. You know, this might be that Steven Soderbergh Gladiator thing for Traffic and Gladiator back in 2001 or 2002, whenever that happened.
Yep.
2001. Where Soderbergh, so they'll split. So Linklater will take Best Director and Best Picture over the Birdman. I mean, I think that's more likely to happen than either Iñárritu and Birdman winning or Linklater and Boyhood winning for Best Picture and Director.
I think that cinematography is a lock for Birdman.
Yeah, I agree.
My concern with directing is, does the cinematography aspect of the film overshadow the directing of the film, which clearly Emmanuel Lubezki did such a fantastic job with the long shots that sometimes it's considered a gimmick in Hollywood, and you know, but it's something that... Let's give credit to where credit's due. Hollywood, if it's such a gimmick, why doesn't it get done all the fucking time? Yeah. It's because it's extremely hard to do, and it's extremely talented to be able to coordinate such a feat. So yeah. For me, I mean...
Well, in Times Square, too. I mean, it's not like they were just doing shot in fucking middle of nowhere. I mean, it's like
right.
In fucking downtown New York City.
So for me, I think the fact that that Linklater filmed this over 12 years kind of almost locks him for directing. And I think that the reason that I lean that way is what I just said. I think cinematography-wise, it runs away with it. Directing-wise, I'm not sure. We'll see. We're going to have to see, but I would go with Linklater on that one.
Fair enough. I'm going to go with Iñárritu.
Yeah, so I want to talk about documentaries because I did see a few of these films. I was a huge fan of Citizen Four. I did love Finding Vivian Maier. I did see The Salt of the Earth. That was actually a really decent documentary. I did not see Last Days of Vietnam, but you did.
I did. I saw it at the Indianapolis International.
That's one film I looked for. I didn't get a chance to. And Virunga is actually a screener that we got for, and I haven't had a chance to watch that, but
and it's on Netflix.
Yeah, it is. And but for me, Citizens 4 is just really a great film. But I would give the nod to Finding Vivian Maier.
Yeah, I'm real torn between this one because I don't think you're going to find a more compelling documentary than Citizen 4. Watching they're filming Edward Snowden as his document leaks and information leaks are unfolding in real time. I mean, it's fucking amazing.
Yeah. Glenn
Greenwald is there. I mean, he actually, Snowden reached out to Laura Poitras, who was the director of the film, because he wanted her involved, to document, you know, what was going on. It's like chair gripping, fucking thrilling, it, more so than any suspenseful movie that you'll find. It's real. It's amazing.
Yep.
It's an amazing movie. But the story of Finding I trend toward the arts. I mean, that's you know, I have a soft spot for stuff about arts and especially in Vivian Maier, is the story behind how her photographs were found just in some crazy auction that a kid happened to be at and found these great photographs and undeveloped film and was able to track down who she was and talk to people who she worked with and all that stuff. It's just an amazing story.
Yeah.
And I love it. Yeah. I haven't seen The Salt of the Earth. It's the only one of the bunch that I haven't seen. Last Days of Vietnam is incredibly touching. Obviously very pertinent with regards to our parents' age. So, my dad was in the army during Vietnam. He didn't actually serve there, but that story is really, really interesting about the evacuation of Vietnam and what to do with the people who wanted to get out and couldn't. It's and their journeys. It's really amazing. And Verhoeven especially, I mean, they're all four of those are fantastic. And Wim Wenders is an incredible filmmaker, so I imagine Salt of the Earth is just as good as the rest. Yeah. I mean, I think there's no doubt that Citizen Four will take the award. I don't know that I could make a choice between it and finding Vivian Maier, because I like them for different reasons, and I think that they're equally good.
So let's just we're not going to go through everything. Let's just I did want to talk about writing. So adapted screenplay, American Sniper, Imitation Game, Inherent Vice, Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. This is a hard category for me. I would give it to Graham Moore for Imitation Game. But it's hard pressed to think that Theory of Everything won't be the one that runs away with it.
I don't think Theory of Everything has a chance.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think it's got a chance. I think that Imitation Game will win the award, and I think that Whiplash is probably the close second. I would vote Inherent Vice. I think Inherent Vice was the most underrated film of the year outside of Calvary, and Under the Skin and Only Lover. Okay, there's quite a few. It's among that group.
Sure.
It's really, really fantastic. Having read the novel, being able to adapt Pynchon to the big screen, which has never been done before, not an easy task. It's easily his most accessible novel, but still, it's still Pynchon. It's really quite dense with his language and how he presents his ideas. I really, really, really loved it, and it's a shame that it's not going to get more love. I'm happy to see it here. I definitely didn't expect it. The fact that American Sniper is in a category with these four films makes me want to fucking puke all over myself, lap it up, and then puke it all up again because it's that fucking disgusting. American Sniper is a joke. It's a joke.
Now, on the other side of it, the original screenplay, actually, I was really surprised to see Dan Gilroy there for Nightcrawler, which was a nice surprise for me.
Agreed.
Because I actually really enjoyed that film.
It's a creepy fucking movie.
it really is. For me, I look at the entire thing. For me, I don't see Boyhood as a writing, film. I didn't think it was like this greatly written film. Although, the dialogue that is written is really good. I just don't think it's like an original screenplay, doesn't burst out. I guess that's not the first kind of film I would think of. I would probably go with Grand Budapest Hotel on this one, but I actually really enjoyed Nightcrawler, and I would be really surprised. I would be really happy, I would say, to see if it won.
It's, I don't know, you hang it up, dude. That ain't happening. Not with Wes Anderson and Iñárritu ahead of him, no chance. I think Birdman takes the award. Grand Budapest Hotel probably pretty close. Although the curveball happened at the Writers Guild Award when Grand Budapest took that one down. So, this is far and away the most up in the air Oscars that I can remember. But yeah. I can't remember another. There are races, like Best Picture when Crash was up against Brokeback Mountain. I think there are singular races like that where people, didn't know what was going to happen. Usually the acting awards are pretty locked in. You can pretty much gather that. A lot of the times you know who's going to win director and you know who's going to win Best Picture, but none of those. I mean, Best Actress, Supporting Actor, and Supporting Actress are all locks. I think the actor is wide open, the director is wide open, Best Picture is wide open, and the writing awards both. I don't think there's any bona fide lock, even though I still think that Imitation Game is going to win the adapted screenplay, and I think that Birdman's going to win the original screenplay. That's not the case. That's why my Oscar pool is killing me this year, because I haven't made my picks yet, and I'll send all those out to everybody that's jumped in before the awards, so everybody doesn't think that I'm cheating. But it's hard to nail down. They're all contested. I can't remember a single Oscar ceremony where that was actually a case. It's kind of fun for the first time thinking about it. I'm looking forward to tweeting it. I think it should be fun.
So let's pick one wild card category.
How about best animated film?
All right, let's do that. Because so you're looking at Big Hero 6, Box Trolls, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Songs of the Sea, and The Tales of Princess Kaguya, which I actually viewed the trailer for that. I didn't see it, but I actually did see Song of the Sea.
Irish movie. That one gets my vote just because it's Irish. And I love Book of Kells. Same guys that did that one, and it was nominated too. But I think what we have this one's really, really interesting to me, because I think you have the Box Trolls, which is a really interesting movie. It was done with stop motion. I thought it was really quite fun to watch.
Me too.
So you have it's really a two pony race. I don't think there's any doubt about that. With a sequel, with How to Train Your Dragon, which won the Golden Globe, and a Disney Pixar movie. With Big Hero 6, which you would think would run away with it, right? They've never lost except for Cars. The only time that they've ever lost was to Happy Feet, when Cars was nominated for Best Animated Film. So I don't know how to Train Your Dragon's going to win, but I think it's going to.
Yeah, and that's the dreariest of the five films. I mean, How to Train Your Dragon 2 is an animated film by, its viewing purpose, but the film is extremely adult centric. I don't know if you've seen it, but I mean,
I have kids, dude. Of course, I
mean, did you have an issue with watching certain parts of that film with your children? I mean, like, I remember seeing it in the movies and kids crying.
Dude, it's every kids movie has the people that die.
Well, that's okay with me, but that the anger, the fact that spoiler it, everybody hasn't seen How to Train Your Dragon, don't kill us for this, but like Toothless killing his father, I mean that's a serious thing. I mean it's not like you know Bambi where the hunter out of the blue kills it's the fucking hero of the story kills the other hero of the story's father.
Well, it's. Yeah, I don't see that as an issue, because it's no different than something like that happening in Star Wars or something like that. You know what I mean? Which my kids have seen at a younger age, and they didn't take any particular interest,
sure,
or any issue with as well. So, when we walked out of Big Hero 6, my youngest son, who was 7 at the time, said, "Dad, why do they always kill somebody?" Because the brother, no spoiler alert, the brother dies. Sorry. That it happens in the first 20 minutes of the movie, so it's not like I'm ruining the movie for you. But he said, "I just wish there was a movie that somebody didn't die." I mean, I think that's why the Despicable Me movies are so resonant with my kids, because there's nobody that dies in those movies.
And I love Big Hero 6, but if I had to give it to one of the five, I'm probably giving it to Box Trolls, just because I really enjoyed the – and it takes a whole shitload of time to be doing – making stop motion.
Yeah.
And Paranorman got fucked over for that award, so I would
agree with that too. So I'm going to see if we get my vote. But I like the Box Trolls. I like the Box Trolls better than the others. So, and I haven't seen Princess Kaguya. I did watch the documentary – on the making of The Wind Rises, the Hayao Miyazaki movie, Studio Ghibli. The guy that directed Princess Kaguya, it's kind of a running joke in that particular documentary about how he's never going to finish the movie. He's been talking about, because he's also Studio Ghibli director, and he's the one that actually got Miyazaki into doing films, which thank heavens for that, because they're all amazing. But there's a running joke throughout the whole movie about how he's never going to finish that movie. And Wind Rises was nominated last year, and now this one's nominated this year. So obviously it's something I have not seen it yet. And it actually just came out on video. So I'm going to get that hopefully very soon.
And we gave it away on realnewsdaily.com to one of our lucky readers. So if you won, pass it around, everybody. Let's see that shit. So let's quickly run down, since the Spirit Awards are also this weekend, we both got a chance to vote for the awards. So without further ado, we'll just basically give away who we voted for. So I'll go first. I don't think it's any surprise that my best feature was Boyhood. Best first feature, I actually voted for The Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, which was beat out Nightcrawler, Dear White People, Obvious Child, and She Lost Control for me. The John Cassavetes Award, which is given to the best feature made under $500,000. This was a tough one for me, but at Blue Ruin, I give it to. Away from It Felt Like Love, Land Ho, Man from Reno, and Test. Best Director, I gave it to Alejandro Iñárritu, but which is funny because I did this is because exactly what Jeremy said for the Oscars, I felt that both Boyhood and Birdman should be represented here, so I voted for Iñárritu for Birdman over Linkletter. Screenplay, I actually went with Jim Jarmusch's Only Lovers Left Alive over Scott Alexander and Larry Kaczynski, Big Eyes, J.C. Shandor for Most Violent Year, Dan Gilroy for Nightcrawler, and Ira Sash and for Love is Strange. First screenplay, I think I didn't vote for it because I didn't see Appropriate Behavior and Little Accidents. So I think that was the
you
one.
You had a screener for Little Accidents.
We have one for both of them. I haven't actually had a chance to watch it.
Oh, is Appropriate Behavior? I knew I'd seen that, but I don't remember. I didn't remember that being.
Yep. Cinematography, I've already mentioned. Emmanuel Lubezki for Birdman. Best editing I gave it to Boyhood, Sandra Adair. Best lead, Michael Keaton for Birdman. By the way, let me go back to male lead after I give you all my picks because I wanted to kind of mention something here. Best female lead, I went with Tilda Swinton for Only Lovers Left Alive. Best supporting male, I went for J.K. Simmons for Whiplash. Supporting actress, Patricia Arquette for Boyhood. Best international film, Under the Skin was my choice. Best documentary, Citizens 4, although I did love 20,000 Days of Earth. I'm a big Nick Cave fan, so I did actually enjoy that film. But it was definitely not a best picture or best documentary. And I think that's it. Since Inherent Vice, it gets its own award, and so does Foxcatcher. So I want to go back to the male lead. Andre Benjamin for Jimmy. That movie was awful.
Shit, yeah. A fucking shit pile. How do you make a movie about Jimi Hendrix and don't have rights to the fucking music?
I had real issues when I saw this. Because there's so many other actors out there that really deserve to be nominated for this. And that movie was awful.
Yeah. He was fine. He was fine in the movie.
He didn't do anything.
Well, I agree. He wasn't offensive.
Okay, so this is the reason why I brought this up. I have had arguments with people over the fact that I truly believe, and it's not because I think he did a fantastic job or he was this amazing actress. We've had best actors that really didn't deserve to be nominated, but their films were nominated. Have we not in the past 45, 50 years, Jeremy?
Of course.
I thought L.R. Coltrane deserved something as a nod to his 12 years of service. Whether it be Independent Spirit Award or not, he definitely deserved something of a nomination for doing what he did. So for me, I would have given him the nod for a nomination over Andre Benjamin.
I would have given him one over Andre Benjamin too.
Yeah, I don't think he deserves for the Oscar, and I'm not trying to contest him or put him in the names of Michael Keaton and Eddie Redmayne and Benjamin Cumberbatch because obviously that's insane. But for me, I think the guy deserved a nod at the Spirit Awards. So there's my little grudge for that.
Where's the love for Tom Hiddleston and Only Lovers Left Alive?
Unbelievable. Absolutely.
Come on, give me a fucking break. The guy didn't get any love for that movie.
I would have put him in there over John Lithgow, and I would have put Eller in there for Andre Benjamin. Like I said, just for the nod.
Yeah.
All right. So, what are your choices? Where'd you go?
I chose Whiplash for best feature. I chose A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night for best first feature.
Wow.
It was hard. And I fucking struggle with that one because I love Dear White People and Obvious Child very, very much. So it was tough for me not to. My Cassavetes Award went to It Felt Like Love. Word up to Liza Hittman, an Indiana University graduate. I also listed it as one of the top 10 films of the year.
Nice.
It's very good. It's on Netflix. I suggest people go watch it. It's a really gritty depiction of a coming-of-age story of a young lady in New York. It's really fantastic. Best director, I chose Damien Chazelle for Whiplash. For best screenplay, I chose Jim Jarmusch for Only Lovers Left Alive. Best first screenplay, I chose Justin Simien for Dear White People. If you haven't seen that, Michael, you got to watch it. It's fucking
hilarious. It's on my list. I definitely want to see it.
And it just came out on DVD, so at the very least, you're going to get it that way.
Sweet.
Cinematography, I chose. I did choose Emmanuel Lubezki. Although I think that Lyle Vincent and Sean Porter for A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night and It Felt Like Love both did fantastic jobs. I didn't see The Immigrants all the way, so I haven't seen the entire thing. I watched part of it on Netflix. And I did see Selma, which was great. And I think that there's some really nice camera work in that. Best editing, I think I chose Whiplash for that. For best male lead, I picked Michael Keaton. For best female lead, I picked Jenny Slate. That was a tough one. I love Julianne Moore. She's getting the Oscar, though. And Tilda Swinton's hard to pass up, but she was the person I picked. Cool. For best supporting male, I took Edward Norton, because I know Simmons is getting the Oscar. And for best supporting female, I chose Andrea Suarez Paz for Stand Clear of the Closing Doors. Very, very underrated movie. And I wish more people had seen it. It's an Oscilloscope Labs movie about a high school kid with autism who takes off and just kind of stays hidden on the subways of New York. It's really, really impressive movie. I saw that on Amazon Prime. What a shock that it was there. Just an amazing movie. And she is fantastic. Best international film, I chose Under the Skin as well. Although Leviathan Ida or Force Majeure all could have taken it home. Best documentary was Citizen Four, and there you have it.
We actually had six that we agreed upon.
I know, that's pretty rare for us.
Now I got to put you on the spot for only one, because since this is the final time we'll talk about 2014 films. So 2015 is here. What is maybe one or two films that you're looking forward to representing Hollywood as the best of the year? I know we haven't seen anything. I'm just saying, what do you hope will be there to represent in Oscars 2015?
You know what, dude? I have to admit, I'm woefully unaware of a lot of stuff that's coming out. I think the one that I'm most excited about, and I can't remember the name of it, let me look it up real quick, is the new collaboration with Noah Baumbach and Greta Gerwig. Because I absolutely adored Frances Ha. I thought it was one of the best films of the year, but 2 years ago. It is called Mistress America.
Okay.
Oh, wait, no. Yes, Mistress America. That's it. I'm super, super pumped about that one. It's got the brother from Orange is the New Black in it as well. And it's got Jemima Kirk's little sister.
Jemima?
Yeah, is the girl that's in Girls. That shitty HBO show that Lena Dunham does. So that would be the number one movie, at least that I can think of off the top of my head, that's coming out this year. Oh, and if Scorsese's Silence makes it out this year, which I think it might have gotten pushed, but if it makes it out this year, that's number two easily, number one.
Yeah. I have a feeling that we're going to have a Bradley Cooper, Jennifer Lawrence film being a representative, whether it be Serena or the David O. Russell film that's coming out later in the year.
Gross.
I'm sure we'll wind up with something like that. Film that I think, that I would love to represent would be Mad Max Fury Road, but I'm definitely not going to, so I can't really say that. Straight Outta Compton, bitches, is going to be one of those films that will not even come close. But I'm
excited about both of those that you just mentioned.
Yeah, I'm looking at, I think, just because I really haven't, I want to see the Whitey Bulger story. So I think Black Mass has a chance to maybe make some noise since it's got an all-star cast with Johnny Depp, Benedict Cumberbatch, Dakota Johnson, Sienna Miller. I think that has a chance as a first-run film to, I think The Walk has a chance.
You know, the documentary was so goddamn good. And I love Joseph Gordon-Levitt, so I hope they don't fuck it up. I mean, I am intrigued by that one. Is James Marsh directing it as well? Is it the same guy that directed the documentary?
No, it's Robert Zemeckis.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I hate that fucker.
I'm going
to
go
Back to the Future. I'll give him those. But fuck Forrest Gump. Fuck all of his other, you know, the animated Beowulf and fucking Polar Express. Fuck him.
I just hope Crimson Peak does exactly what I want it to do. And
looks
Guillermo del Toro.
Looks pretty solid, dude.
And if Guillermo del Toro, you know, I think that the horror needs to not get such a bad rap when it comes to a film that looks as exquisite as this and should be something that gets at least turns a few heads, you know, come Oscar season next year.
Jessica Chastain, dude, that's a hell of a casting move, I have to admit. I'm super pumped about that one, too.
Yeah, and I really don't see many other things. Probably The Revenant, Inarritu film with Tom Hardy and Leonardo DiCaprio, which will be out for Christmas, and maybe In the Heart of the Sea for Ron Howard. But other than that, I really don't see much in the way of a Oscar nomination film coming out this year.
Well, we'll see how it shakes out. You know, I think that maybe it'll be another year for the small independents. I mean, who knows, that fucking Star Wars movie could get nominated at this point in time, which wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Spectra.
Oh, you're talking about Spectre for the James Bond.
Spectra. Whatever the fuck they want to say. Channel 44, you know, it's coming out a little too early. So we'll just have to see how that plays out. Looks pretty interesting, but, you know, you never know.
Bring on more Tom Hardy. That's all I'm saying.
Dude needs to get in more films.
He was incredible at Luck. That's, you know, there's another guy that could have been nominated for Best Actor. I really, really enjoyed that performance. And the guy's in a car driving the whole time. I mean, if you can make that enjoyable and interesting, you know you got something. He did a great job.
He was good in The Drop, too.
You know, I just got that from Netflix today. I have not seen it.
Yeah, he's really good in The Drop.
Yeah. Traffic is fine. Traffic is okay.
And, of course, you know, he saves a dog in the film. So, of course, he's you know, every woman's wet dream for the night for that film.
Yes, indeed.
So that's the final talk that we'll have come the Oscar season. Make sure you check out realnewsdaily.com and our blogs. Spirit of the Thing, and you check out our Twitter feeds and everything else that we have to see where we're going to be talking about the Oscars. If we can pull everybody together, maybe we'll do another Oscar tweet out and see who's right and who's wrong, because, you know, that shit is worn like a badge of honor around us.
Yep, I won the pool last year, bitches. That's all I'm saying. I picked every one of them but one, and I still maintain that was a fucking rook job. I still can't believe that Act of Killing did not win Best Documentary. Give me a fucking break.
Yeah, he was bitching about that for months afterwards.
Yeah, fuck. I'm still bitching about it. Still, almost a year later. God damn it.
So let us know what you think. If you're going to vote for American Sniper, you're going to, with the rest of the population, are you going to come with us and vote for one of the real good films of the year? And let us know what a film's got rooked for you, because, you know, we did miss out on a lot of great films, and I think we've talked about a few of them, especially Only Lovers Left Alive, Nymphomaniac, which would never have gotten nominated in the first place, but 50 Shades of Grey makes fucking $100 million its first weekend. What a fucking sham.
You didn't even need to mention that. Why'd you have to mention that?
I don't know. Because, you know, because it just made me, I needed to get angry for a second. I needed to get that angry. God damn it. So we will talk to you guys soon. Thanks for joining us. And for Jeremy, I'm Michael. We will see you next week. See ya.